The Lord has been good to us, and we must never, ever take that for granted in any way, anywhere, at any time. I have chosen to do a lesson today on the church, the embodiment of the gospel. And the church of God is called to be the embodiment of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our mission in this world is not what most of us seem to think. The mission in this world is not about singing and preaching and praying and taking the Lord's Supper and certainly taking up a collection. Though those things are very important as a part of what we do, the church of God, if you could look at it as a container, it's a container that carries the gospel to the world. That's the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is not for us to sit in a room for an hour or 2 hours and do a bunch of stuff and call it, you know, what we have done in full worship. Let me tell you about worship. It is completely impossible to go to worship. You can't do that. You either are worshiping or you're not worshiping. Yes or no? That means if I get home and I'm in a aura of worship, which is constant, that's what we're called to be, though we can do other stuff. If I go in my chicken house, I can worship God in that chicken house as well as I can in this house. I don't have to be somewhere special to worship God. We need to get rid of that idea where we come and go to worship. You come to worship and you stay there. It doesn't matter which of your feet take you somewhere else, you're still in worship. When you came into Jesus Christ, you came into worship. You didn't come at 9:45 or 10:45. You may have been born into Christ at 5:30 early one morning somewhere. And it just stays. We need to lose that idea because it's really not right. The whole gospel is comprehensive and it has huge implications for the church, but it also has huge implication to the world. We're not about us. I want us to learn to reroute how we look at things. You come to worship when you come to Christ. And you can worship God anywhere, any hour, any day, with or without shoes on. You don't have to be dressed up. You don't even have to smell good. I can go outside and do some work in a day's time. I mean, I could get pretty nasty in a day's time, but right now, you don't need but about 5 minutes. I'm surprised that any of us are still alive with this heat. But I can tell you, in the middle of the heat, we are still in worship to God. You don't come to worship, you don't go to worship. You are at worship. You know how much easier that makes things? Well, hurry up, we got to get in the car and go to worship. Can't do that. Just say, we're going to get in the car. You can't go to church either. I don't want to hurt you, but you can't go to church. It's impossible to go to church. Why? You are the church. And if you put your little sooty foot over here, you're the church. If you put your little sooty foot over here, you're the church. Or out yonder or down there. You are the church. You cannot go to church. That sound right to you? It involves a biblical revelation the achievement of the cross, the power of God's Holy Spirit, and the history of the reception on cultures around the world of every ethnic group who have ever embraced it. If you want to really know what the gospel is, I know, hear, believe, repent, confess, and baptize. We didn't ever take time to say, hear what, repent of what, and so forth. But we got that messed up. Here's what the gospel is. It includes you. It's not about you. It includes you. The gospel is a cleaner, and its job is to purify God's good world. While we're sitting in church buildings all over the country, people of every expression of faith, worshiping God, evil still rolls across this world. The gospel tells the story of Jesus in light of the Old and New Testament scriptures. Not putting anybody down if you only have a New Testament Bible. But let me tell you what, if you got a New Testament Bible, and if you were to compare the thickness of the Old Testament to the New Testament, you're losing. All of that stuff in the Old Testament's not hard to learn. It's not hard to read. It just has words that we hadn't heard much. So mispronounce them. Who cares? God knows what they mean. Just work with them. In the writings of the gospel, the writers pointed to the centrality of the death, burial, and resurrection. And because of that, the forgiveness of sin that can come as a result of that to those who make a covenant with God. And making a covenant with God is not that big a job. I remember growing up where we had a preacher who taught us how to properly get ready to get baptized. And so there was one of our guys. You know, there's just one guy in every crowd that's got to be the odd frog. You know about these people? Well, it was his job to go up and talk to somebody about being baptized. And when he did that, he said some wrong words, and that preacher just shut him down right then, right there. And to my knowledge, I don't remember ever hearing him say another word till I left, you know, got off on my own and everything. But sometimes you kill people by trying to help people. We've got to be careful about that kind of stuff. If you're a true believer, you have to embrace the biblical witness. Now, what that is a Bible. You have an old covenant, you have a new covenant. But the biblical witness is God witnessing to you the truths of the Old Testament or the New Testament, however it may be. It tells the story of all of that. So if we center ourselves on the whole of the Scriptures, we include both covenants. I don't want anybody coming in here saying, I'm just a New Testament Christian. Let me tell you something. You cannot possibly be a New Testament Christian if you hadn't had the Old Testament. If you had something that could weigh all of the Old Testament, and something that could weigh all of the New Testament, the scales would go this way, which would mean we don't know much. To minimize the precepts and power of the gospel is asking something like a healthy heart to quit beating. God has put in us a heart for Himself. For Paul, as an apostle to the Gentiles, clearly the good news about Jesus Christ was a universal message. It's not about across the street or down the road, though it can include that. If it's universal, where could it go possibly? All over the world. Doesn't it seem like that's what the Great Commission's about? Do you know, for Paul to do what he did, he had to have deep roots in the Old Testament. And those deep roots were a stirring pot for him when he starts talking to people in the New Covenant. And the people in the early church got a hold of this. And in one generation, how long was a generation? 40. In one generation, the gospel went to the whole world. I don't know that it's done that since. For a long time, the nations of the world were alienated from the covenant of grace of God and membership in His household. It was a lot who just would not embrace it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 18 says this, "Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth are called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hand. Remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Jesus Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, has destroyed the barrier, dividing the wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in that one body to reconcile them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to you who were near. For through Him you both have access to the Father by one Spirit." I'm not making fun of anybody. There are people that just do not understand what God's about. And they live their whole lives wanting something large, but every view they have in their life is tiny. God has views that, if we were to really pursue them, would blow our minds. I can't even begin to understand an inkling of how God created the starry host. I don't know how He did all that, except He said, "Let there be." But you got to know there's some stuff behind that in how He did it. Here's what I can do. I keep on believing about that, and I can appreciate the stars, and I don't have to try to figure out what star that is and what star that is, and if that's the star of this over there or what. If I look at the stars, I know who put them there. And if every night I go out and I see some of that, or the moon or something, I still know that God is still in control. When earthquakes happen on this earth, God allows that sometimes because people need to be awakened, and earthquakes do a real good job of that. You don't have to say, you know, as you watch a city fall down, "You think that was an earthquake?" Oh, yeah, that was an earthquake. That's what it looks like. Paul kept his eye on what God was doing. Peace with God is part of the good news. You hear that? When you're embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ, you've been cleaned up when you were washed in His blood. In your baptism, that's when that happened. You're still going to make a mess. If you hang out with people like me and Herman and Alan, you're going to make a mess. We throw Buddy in the mix, there we're going to make a mess. We just make a mess in life. But let me tell you this, God's still in control. There's not a rock that fell from anywhere that God don't know about it. So I can put my confidence in Him and say He is the embodiment of the gospel. He's cleaning the world. In the Old Testament, period, this was a big thing. But because of the work Jesus Christ did through the gospel, that one single family now includes all the nations of the world. I want to be in that. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. His intent was to show through the church the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I know God calls for each of us to pray for one another. What we did, and it happens a lot more, and you see it around here, is we got elders, and especially preachers, who have come to believe that if they just put their hand on somebody's head and pray over them, that's going to fix them. Your hand don't have that power. You don't have the power to fix anybody. If we could fix anybody, Al wouldn't be riding that scooter. And some of us wouldn't be limping when we stand up. But I can tell you this, because Jesus has the power, I will live forever, even though I'll die. I have absolutely no fear of it. Dying is nothing but a transition to something better. Now, we like to hang on, and I'm still hanging on, you understand? Our job in this world is to share that message. Now, you don't have to go knocking on everybody's door. You just share the message where you can. Some people won't hear about it. Typically, family members are the one that hate it the most. So you have to get somebody else's family on them. There's other ways around that, you see. Against the black background, darkness, the biblical gospel is very good news because it can clean up the world. I want you to have that. I want you to have the faith, and I know you do. That's that woman sitting right there, getting ready to be cut open, said, "I'm not scared." You're supposed to be scared. She wasn't scared. And then she's here. She's still not scared. I'm not scared of dying. Are you scared of dying, any of you? I'm not ready to do it. I don't want you knocking me off. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to get your chance soon enough. It's coming. But it's not over. And it'll never be over. The church is the embodiment of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's to be played out in the arena of an assembly like this, or maybe under that tree out there or somewhere. But that's our job. We don't have to necessarily go knocking on everybody's door, but that's our job. And we can't ever forget that. It is a powerful message that changes the world. The government is not going to give you, I don't care whether you're Republican, Democrat, or any other craps they got in all of that. The government's not going to fix us. There is only one fix for the church, for the unchurched, and for the nation, but not only the nation, but every nation. It's only one fix, and God makes it clear, and He's put that in our hand. So whatever you want to do, I want you to know you can't go to church anymore. You're going to die, but you're not going to stay dead. You can't lose. What can Satan do to you? Satan has to go through Jesus Christ to be allowed to do any of the stuff he does. And Jesus lets that happen. God calls us to be something more. Church said,